I tell you what, fathers are heroes. And it's a big deal what's going on now with fathers. I think fathers and the resurrection of what a father is the cure to a huge part of our societal ills. We are in a mess right now. It says in the end of Ezekiel, let me read it to you. Malachi 4:5, the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of fathers to the children and the hearts of children to their fathers so they don't come and smite the land with a curse. I'm not saying we here have been cursed, but our land has been cursed. We could talk for a long time and I'm just not going to really get into it. But no fathers have caused such societal problems in our land. In 1971, 8% of households were single parents. How many of you want to guess what it is? Well, it was 10 years ago, this study I found, 2011. 8%, 50 years ago. How much you want to guess it was 10 years ago? 80%. 8 out of 10 households are single parents. Houses that are in poverty, 60% of them are single parents. Only 10% of poverty houses have two parents. We could go on and on and on. This is the point. God set it up for us to need two parents, led by a strong spiritual mother and led by a strong spiritual father. And when it's not, it causes societal problems. The devil is smarter than most humans in America and smarter than most Christians in America. He has attacked the family relentlessly the last 50 years. We are now suffering the consequences of it, but very, very few people understand the root cause of it. Almost all of it is fatherless. 13 years ago, Obama, in his first year, he described President Obama. He described the problem in the black culture perfectly. He said the problem is a fatherless culture. He got so mixed up on it, got so much attack on it, and he dropped it, and it never came back up again. But he was dead on, not just in the black culture, but in the white culture and all cultures and the Hispanic culture. God, this is a natural law that if we violate, which we have in our freedom, God never makes us do it, but we can violate any natural law. And the natural law, the first thing he instituted was us hearing him, and then marriage, and then the third thing instituted was family. And those laws have never changed. We don't have to follow them. We can do whatever we want. But if you don't follow them, you'll suffer the consequences, and we have. But we are in a resurgence of father. And it started, and it's been going on in the spiritual for a long time. In 1517, there was a Reformation where it ended up being called the Protestants because they protested. There was a split in the Catholic Church, and that's where we got Protestant Christianity, which I guess you put two and two together, meaning we protest what's happening. It was restoring the first person of the Trinity. Not the person. He started restoring the Trinity, and it started with Jesus Christ. And for almost 500 years, there was a battle over Jesus. That's sort of sad, isn't it? It's actually 400 years. There was a battle over Jesus. What the major battle was is, let me reintroduce you to Jesus. Jesus is the gateway. He's the only way to get saved. There's nothing else you can do. No indulgences, no paying off priests, no going to mass. There's no priest between you and God. Jesus did something on the cross. And for 400 years, that and the authenticity of the Bible. Then around 1900, depending on what part of the world you're in. He said, it's time to introduce the next person of the Trinity and get to know Him. And it's the Holy Spirit. And that's where we had Azusa Street, the Welsh Revival, and it started going around the world. And like Jesus is revolutionizing the world, the Holy Spirit's still revolutionizing the world. And I'm telling you, you're in the biggest move, the most exciting move. But what part of the Trinity hasn't been restored? The Father. This is Craig's opinion, backed up by different people. Roughly around the year 2000, 20 years ago, he said, I'm starting to reintroduce the Father now to complete the Trinity, because He's wanting to empower you to get to know every part of the Trinity to change the world. And that's when, for those of you that have been around or watched, how many of you started hearing about like people like Jack Frost and Edgar Winter? That's not his name. Whoever it was. They started talking about the Father and the Father's love. And for a long time, we had a book that was a part of the growth journey, Embraced by the Father by Jack Frost. Y'all know, if you've been here, you've heard us talk about it a lot. This was not common up 20 years ago. He's reintroducing you, men and women and kids, to the Father so that you can figure out who He is. This is where songs came out. He's a good, good Father. Those kind of songs were not around. They were about the Holy Spirit. They were about Jesus. And He started reintroducing it because you cannot be a good father till you've seen a good father. Some of you have seen a good father in the physical, but He also wants to show you how to be a good father by being a good father to you. And when you understand who and what He is, then you can be a better parent. There's another ministry here in town for about, I don't know how many times, 7 or 8 times in a row. I taught every other week on how to be a good parent, how to be a good father. It's an all-men's group. I taught to them. And the basis of that is if you know your Father and how He relates to you, then you can be a good father. And so we're right in the midst of this revolution. And you are a pioneer. You are a vanguard. You are truly a hero to this culture. Now, it's not Mother's Day, but I didn't talk about women on Mother's Day. The main reason is I'm not a good person to talk about mothers on Mother's Day because I'm not a mother. So maybe next year we'll do something different. Most of the problem with fathers today in America, in families, most of it is with the fathers and not the mothers. The devil has convinced us to be absentee fathers. And we're going to go through it today. I know we're not doing it here, but you'll know why you're doing what you're doing. Maybe it'll help you to know what you're doing some. But He is restoring, and I put up here 5 things that fathers do better than mothers. There is a list for mothers. I'll talk about it sometime in the future. But there are 5 things that fathers do better than mothers. There are things mothers do that are better than fathers, but we're not going to go through that today. That's why we need to compliment each other. That's why there's often conflict when you're raising kids. But if you realize we're complementary to each other, and as we go through this, you're going to see many of societal ills are because there was no fathers. 80% of people 10 years ago were in single-parent homes. That means almost, if this was a normal picture of the demographics of Dalton, only 2 out of 10 of you would live in a dual-family home. I remember I was talking to Abigail. She's 25 now. I was talking to Abigail when she was a senior, so it was 7 years ago. I said, when I was growing up, there was one family in my high school class, and I went to a small high school class, but there's only one family, one kid that came from a divorced family. So I said, how many of kids in your family are divorced? She went through the numbers. It took a little bit longer. She said, there's one family that's not from a divorce in one generation. See, the devil has spoken to fathers and said, you have no purpose, you're worthless, the government can raise your kids, the mothers are good enough, and it has been an absolute disaster. And I'm here to tell you, you are the hope of this country. You are the hope of your family, and I'm going to speak to you in such a way that you're going to see your importance and do not abandon it. People say, you know, the government can raise your kids or mothers. They cannot. It is designed into your DNA. There are gender differences. And it extends to fathers. This fluidity of gender is a lie. It is not even backed up by science. It's not backed up by practicality. We have got to grow in our discernment. We have got to grow in our critical thinking. We have to grow in our rationality, because many things are being pushed now that are just, let me be nice, they make no sense on any level. But we're scared to push back. But I'm telling you, fathers are heroes. So are mothers. But fathers are heroes, and we need them. And as you are, you're doing this. But as you do this, and as it expands, it will start changing a culture. There is not one single government program that's going to rescue kids. You can get them out of an abusive situation, put them in a place they're not abusive, but it does nothing for the inside. And the first thing that fathers do is they give value. Well, what do you mean by that? As I said sometime in the past, I get up every morning, so do you. Not every morning, regularly, and go to work. And I make X amount of money. You put your thing in there, and you go. And it's not, very few of us live for our work. May not be bad. It may be enjoyable, but we're not waiting every morning going, this is what I was created for. This is my destiny. But we wake up and we go. Why? Because we have a wife, we have kids, and they need to eat, they need to have clothes, they need other stuff like go to Norway. Amen. That's part of their destiny. And we get up and do it. Now I ask you, let's take a number of 5,000 a month. That's 60,000 a year. That's probably on the high side. But you just take 5,000 a month. After you pay Uncle Sam, you probably have 401k and medical insurance. You probably have 3,000 a month. How much of that money, Dad, do you spend on yourself every month? $200 sounds extravagant, doesn't it? That's a little over 5%. 95% you're spending it on everybody else. And I doubt you even spend $200 a month regularly. You get my point? And as you grow up, your kids see you and your wife, your wives are usually working too, see you sacrificing and buying them stuff and giving them stuff, and you're not off gambling, you're not off buying, you know, extreme stuff that you can't afford. You're putting it on them. Subconsciously, it gives them value. I must be worth something because they're investing in me. Now, when they're 4 years old, they don't get it. But as they get older, just subconsciously, they realize he's living and doing and getting up and working. Some of us have great jobs. Some of us have crappy jobs. Can you say that in a church? Some of us have bad jobs. It gives them value. And I want to applaud you because the world doesn't acknowledge that. Just that alone is producing stability. It's producing a future. It's producing, okay, maybe I don't have, as a kid says, maybe I don't have everything I want or even half of what I want. But I got a place to stay. I got a place to eat. I can come back. And they're doing the best that they can with the money they have to give me a future. And so I just applaud you. I thank you for doing that. The men in here, grandfathers in here, getting up and doing that every day. Another way that you give value, this gender confusion thing is not going well. And what I mean by, I'm not even talking biblically the whole problems with it. It is such a backlash in society. What is it now, 10 to 12 states have outlawed gender reassignment surgeries for somebody under 18? Almost, you can go Google this. I'm not making this up. Most of the people that's gotten a gender reassignment surgery have gotten it reversed because they said when they did it, I was worse off, but people encouraged me to go. This is where we need a father to step in. Those of you that had kids go through puberty, it is normal to have thoughts of who am I? What sex am I? Because you got all these, your body's being flooded by chemical stuff. And it's just absolute insanity for parents, just take a girl. You can do it with a boy. Take a girl. She's going, man, what is all going on? What's happening? You know, do I have desires for girls? And then a dad or a mom step in. Well, just whatever you feel. That's insanity. The postmodern society goes by what you feel. It is a disaster. Listen to me carefully. Never go by what you feel. Amen. What does the Bible say? What does wisdom say? What does God say? And then if all those align, then you get to go by what you feel. But if you got a father come along, you got a 12-year-old girl that's struggling with this thing, I see it all the time. I've seen it through my kids' friends. And they're struggling with this. You go, you know, that's normal. Your mom went through that. Guys go through that. Just hang on. It gets better. Your body stables out. You're a beautiful young woman. You're going to grow up to be a beautiful young woman. It is your destiny to be a mother of God to kids and a spiritual mother. And you're going to find a great man that's going to be a great husband for you. And you speak to them. Moms can say it, but when dads say it, it is something else. Because it's a guy that's speaking into them. And that's how you can give them value. Don't go into this junk. It's just junk about the whole gender thing. It is a disaster. You just go Google it. It's just messing people's lives up. And that's because there's no fathers to speak into them and go, listen, I know you feel this, but there's a lot of things you feel. It'll pass. And this is your destiny. Fathers, I need to fly through these things. Fathers give protection. I love this one. Now, fathers have no problem with physical protection. Okay? You may have guns. If anybody comes in your house, that's the end of them. They're just a memory, and all that's left is the cleanup. We have no problem with the physical protection. But I'm telling you, you're also needed for the soul protection, which is emotions, your mind, and your body, and spiritual protection. Now, this is a major job. I mean, I had three kids go through public school. It is not your public school that you grew up in. It is just nuts. And we could talk about this for a long time, but get involved in your kids' life. Ask them questions. Look for their friends. Look for these influences that you used to could tell your kid to avoid. They can't avoid them anymore. Now you've got to teach them how to live in these situations. The only way you can maybe avoid them is bring them on home, do homeschooling 100%. But you know what? Eventually they're going to turn 18. They're going to go to work, going to go to college, and then they got to learn then. Unfortunately, you're having to teach them about 10 or 12 now. Whatever your situation is, realize you are going to have to teach them. You cannot avoid them. How you live around these alternate worldviews and alternate lifestyles, and they're having to grow up much earlier. Fathers, take a lead on this and realize it's everywhere. Protect them the best you can emotionally. You may have to many times. It's not happened too many times. This was on the back row. Grace is back there teaching. He was watching some supernatural show on TV, and it looked just like some of the it looked like some of the deliverance services I've been in. I don't know if you remember this. I looked at him. I said, do you realize this is real? Of course, they were doing it from the dark side. And he goes, not really. I said, I've been in deliverance services similar to this. Turn it off. He didn't like it, but he's an obedient kid that always obeys. And so he turned it off. I said, this is too close to the home. You know, there's a fine line where you can't ban everything. Sometimes you have to teach them through it. There's been many movies that Christians over the last 15 years tried to ban and not having their home. And that might have been right, but my kids, most of them, I said, we're going to watch this, and I'm going to show you where the spiritual aspects of this is, and so that you know the alternate viewpoint and walk through it. Amen? And so you give protection over their spirit, not just girls, but guys too, and just tell them, you are a man of God, you are a woman of God, You know, if they're 18 or 17, really you have no control. You can suggest, and there is some control because I guess they're in your house. But in the end, you've got to start shifting them and go, this is not going to help you be a man or a woman of God. And I guarantee you at my age, which they don't think they're ever going to get there, but I guarantee you, you're going to be glad that you went this way. Amen? And don't leave this all to your mom. There is something about it when a dad says it that it carries an authority that is harder for a mom to do. If you're a single parent in here, he'll give you that authority. But, and so also when they're little, 9, 10, 12, even 14 years old, just every once in a while, teach your kids, just tell your kids no. And they go, why? And you know why, and you could share it. I don't say do this often, but every once in a while, just say, because I said so. Which, and they go, well, that's not right. I want to understand. No, just because I said so. What you're doing is we're jumping down to point five, and we're coming back. Fathers give discipline. And one of the biggest ways, if I can get my phone to cooperate, one of the biggest ways that you give them discipline is to teach them how to relate to authority. I'm just going to be blunt with you. I'm going to go over on the political side a little bit, but I won't give specific examples. It is never good for police to be brutal. It is never good for some of the things that's happened with police. But I've looked at every single example that's gone national where, you know, it didn't turn out well. Do you realize every one of them ignored the police and did the opposite? And if they had obeyed them, even if the police was wrong, if they had obeyed them, they'd probably be alive today. I've told this to Israel, unfortunately, is the only one in here. I've told him many times, if you get pulled over, shut up and listen. Even if you were right, and even if they take you to jail and you're right, we'll get a lawyer, it'll get ironed out and figured out later. But if you're a smart ass, there is, he would never be a smart ass. But if you, there you go, man. I need to bleep this one out too. There may never be a time to get a lawyer and get you out of prison.
Stevie, hit stop.
Okay? And so, what's the point? As a dad, sometimes I just say, no. Well, why not? Because sometimes you just need to not do it when you don't understand it, because you know why? You may have a boss this way. You may have a wife, but that will never happen. You'll have another authority figure in your house. You may have an employer. You may have a cop, and you just need to learn to do it. And the other part of discipline, we'll go to points three and four here, but the other parts of discipline is not, the main thing is not spanking them. The main thing is not this or that. It's teaching them the discipline of character. They come, they're having a hard time. They're wanting to quit. They've been on a job for 3 weeks, and it may not be the greatest job. And they go, it's just too hard. But they need to keep working. You know, all the situations change. And you go, listen, just gut it out and do it. Well, that's no fun. Yeah, I've been that way for the last 40 years. You can do it. Just keep doing it. Look for another job. Or whatever it is. Keep doing your schoolwork. Keep doing your chores. Keep doing whatever. That's not discipline for judgment. That's discipline to teach life skills. The Bible says if you're a son of God, He disciplines you. And we often think that's just about beating you and doing what's wrong. No, it's discipline in you to get an inheritance that without the character of discipline, you're never going to get. Amen? And so, good stuff. And that's why you see the whole millennial generation. I know it's a generic phrase that there's lots of exceptions to, but you hear all these jokes at 30 years old, they're still in mama's basement, they still haven't had a job. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they're wandering here and there. You know why? Because there's no fathers in the house. Fathers give purpose. When I was 23, I graduated from college, engineer at Georgia Tech. Where is my mom? She have to leave? Oh, there she is. I'm used to you on being on the front row. 23, I was wanting to go off and do this or that. And she said, you can do whatever you want to, but there's no more money here and you're not living here anymore. You need to go find a job. Well, I don't feel fulfilled. That doesn't mean a thing. Go find a job. I hadn't found my purpose yet. You'll find it. Just go get a job. And my dad was in on that too. And so, you know, we just need people like that because there's so much wrong teaching out there. Because fathers, this is great. They give you value of working, taking care of you. They protect you, spirit, soul, and body. They give you discipline, teach you how to, the grit of character and doing honest and integrity work and perseverance. And they give you purpose. This is just a big deal. Our generation is the most purposeless generation I think there's ever been. Trying to share stories without getting too specific. There's this thinking now, you've got to do what's in your heart and passionate. Okay, there's some of that that's true. You don't want a job that you're drudgery at the rest of your life. But there's a bigger purpose. You're going to be a father of a family with kids that are going to go to college one day and want cars and Tonka toys, whatever age they're at. And you need to be a good breadwinner so that when I'm 85 years old, I'm not supporting you. And it gives you purpose in life to know And in a way that the Father is a breadwinner for me, I'm a breadwinner for them, to whatever standard I can. You can still follow your passion. It may be part-time. My passion was to be a full-time minister. I've never done that except for 2 years, and except for two times, 1 year each. One was in my 20s. I made $11,000 that year. And then one was in the middle 2000s when I was here, and I made $12,000 that year. I got a pay raise. And I quickly realized this is not a future plan here, man. This is not going to work. And so you can still follow your passions of music. What if you'd been a musician? You'd live in a cardboard box. You're still following your passions, and maybe it still happens. It's not that, but there's a higher calling. I've got a wife and kids that provide something, and I'm sowing into the next generation. And lastly here, fathers give confidence. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. There are many times as fathers, you can speak to your kids. I know it's hard. You fill in the blank. I know it's not going well. I know it's tough. You're going to get through this. And they go, well, how do you know? And you can share a similar story in your life. It won't be the exact story, but a similar story in your life. I got through this. It's like Abigail. She moved out of our house this weekend. We moved her yesterday. Not too far, just an hour and a half down the road or less to Kennesaw. And that's always when you know it's permanent. When she went off to college, that was one thing because you know you're going to come back. And, you know, that's a big deal. How many of you have sent your kids off? You know what I'm talking about? Just one here. Oh, it's a bunch. Sent your kids off. It's a big deal. And you know they're, you know, except for some disaster and never coming back home permanently. And she was walking. She was taught, you know, you could just see, okay, I've got a new job. She's been on it a month. I got this expensive apartment because every apartment in Atlanta is expensive. I'm going to do all this stuff. Very little furniture except what she bought from Hillary and repainted. And and so I just spoke to her. I said, you know, this is a tough time. It's a time of going, am I going to be successful? Am I going to make it with my coworkers? Am I going to make it with my boyfriend? Am I going to make it financially? Because I've been there. And so I just started speaking. Remember what I was like at 23. And I said, now one good thing you've got, I said, you're going to make it. It's going to be the best season of your life. And I said, I know, because when I was 23, she's 25, when I was 23, I moved to a city 3 hours away, 3.5 hours away, knew nobody, hadn't even started the job yet, knew no church, knew nobody. I said, here, you've got your boyfriend and all your college mates, and you've been on a job for a month. So you're going to make it. And see, that gives confidence to them. If they know you made it, and they see your life, then they go, okay, I'm going to make it. It's a big deal on marriages. Do you realize men and women are not getting married on a grand scale? Why? It's simple. They've never seen it. 8 out of 10 of them grew up without a single parent. Most of the time that was a mom. They don't know what it's like to be married. Over half of the people live together before they get married. There's various reasons for that, but one of the biggest reasons is they don't know the benefits of marriage. It's not always true, but it's a common thing. And they don't want to commit because they've never seen it. But men, as you stick with your wife, and you stay with your wife, and you work through whatever all you have to work through, and it's never easy, and your kids see some of that, and then eventually they'll see the benefits of staying together, they much more commit because they've seen pattern of mama and papa. And they've seen those benefits. And it'll start reversing. If they can do it, and I've seen them argue, maybe one sleeps in the living room for 3 nights, another one's in the bedroom, but eventually they get back together. When they have a fight with their boyfriend, they know, okay, this is temporary. We're going to get back together. And so fathers give confidence to conquer the world, and they give confidence, especially to men, to get married. The biggest reason that there's so cohabitation, to use that word, the Bible calls it another word, but to cohabitate is because men are afraid to commit because they've never seen a father commit to the family. They do not know how that's modeled. We've got a lot of work in our world. Luckily, this congregation is mature and growing. But I just want to encourage you. I've been married, 36 years this year. There are times, and she'll say it, I'll say it, it's just not been fun. But you go, okay, I'm committed to this thing because the alternatives are worse. And you work through it, and it gets better, and you keep moving on, and the kids see that. And if men, we need to raise up our teenage boys, and we are, raise up our teenage boys, we go, listen, and you get a girl that hasn't seen this, well, let's just live together. They go, no, we're not going to do this because you're worth more than this. I value you more than just your body. And we're not going to do this. If we're going to do this with intimacy, then I am going to commit the rest of my life to you. I'm telling you, most women will respond positively to that. It gives them value. And they'll be befuddled. They might even make fun of you. Because I was like, I've never seen this. But if you change the dynamics and go, no, this is biblical values. Do you know what the number one reason for abortions is in America? Let me back up. Do you know the number one reason people don't want to have kids? Studies have shown this over and over again. The woman that's pregnant always turns to the father that got her pregnant. They almost always follow what he wants. And when the guy says, let's keep the baby, I'm committed to this thing, almost never abortions. It is not the woman's. Yes, the women ultimately have the ultimate choice. But you cannot underestimate the value of family that's integrated in our spiritual and physical DNA from the very beginning. Even though you may usually aren't married in that situation. But when they turn to the father, they're going to a natural law and going, do you want to start this family? Do you want to make this family? And if he says yes, he's doing all of this. He's given confidence, discipline, value, purpose into that. And almost never, I mean, there are exceptions, almost never do they get an abortion if the man goes, I'll stand with you and make this work. See, that's another curse of fatherlessness. We often blame the women when we need to go, let's raise up men who know who they are and know that we're just not having sex. We are procreating and bringing up a generation created in the image of God, and they've got a destiny that we're helping bring them in. That'll preach right there. We're not in a Pentecostal service, but that would be a good time to say amen if we were. There you go. Thank you, Jeremy. Any other comments before we close out? Fathers are heroes. They really are. They're unsung heroes. They're heroes nobody celebrates, but I celebrate you. And I realize the value of it. And if your kids are grown, still do this. I mean, the rules change, the boundaries change. If you have grandkids, give them confidence. Speak into their life. There are many times, you know, kids 19, 20, 21, their father speak to you, but then that grandparent comes in and does the same thing. They are subtly looking. They need somebody to guide them. And this whole lie in our society, let them figure it out on their own, their sex, it is a disaster. Now, you don't want to make them in your image, but you start speaking to them saying you're created in God's image. And we're going to find out where your destiny is.